You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
I'm here to bring a word from the Lord. Amen? Amen. So if you would, turn in your Bibles. And I hope you have your Bible in some kind of form. Tablet, phone, the Bible itself. Because the word, we need that. Amen? Amen? Is the very thing we need today to be able to come up against all the wiles of the devil in which he come before us. Amen? Amen? So we can walk victoriously in him. But there is a word from the Lord. Your grace and your mercy has brought me through. I will be coming from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. Very popular scripture. But everything I've been hearing this morning affirms this word. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 6 and 7. I'll be coming from the New American Standard Bible. And when you found your place, could you stand to your feet? Say amen. Amen. The word of God reads, be anxious for nothing. Or your translation say, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. Just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for it is your grace and your mercy that has brought us through. So, Lord God, we just leaning and depending on you and you alone. So, Father God, we know that you are our way maker. You are our miracle worker. You are our all in all. So we look into you this morning, Father God, to give us a word, Father God, from heaven. Oh, Father God, I understand it's preaching time and no preaching can be done unless you show up through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I ask you that you just ask that you would just simply have your way in and through me right now. Use me to your glory right now, Father God. Oh, Lord, touch me that I will preach with Holy Ghost boldness, coupled with love and compassion, Lord God. Touch me now that I will preach as though it's a matter of life and death. And I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would choose life in you and that life more abundantly. Oh, Lord God, I just ask that you give the waiting congregation ears to hear and hearts to receive what thus says the Lord. And Lord God, once we get an understanding of your word, we pray through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that you will have it applied to our lives, that you will be glorified, oh, Lord God, and that we'd be well equipped to do every good work you have called us to do. Oh, Lord God, I'm just simply saying, have your way right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And for a subject this morning, if you will, don't worry. Somebody look at to their neighbor right now and say, neighbor, don't worry. Look to his neighbor on the other side of you and say, neighbor, don't worry. Here in our text, we have Paul, where he has written a letter to the church of Philippi. And in this letter, he's encouraging or exhorting the Philippians not to be anxious, not to worry about things. Paul, here in prison for the cause of Christ, for preaching the gospel, locked up, he in his mess, but typical Paul's style, he always have a message for someone else. Amen. Even though he's in his situation, even though he's in his trouble, he always have a message of encouragement for others. But he tells them in the text, and also he's telling us, don't worry. Obviously, the Philippians needed this encouragement. The text doesn't specifically spells out the problem or situation that may have been going on at the time. But as Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. See, as we have difficulties and problems and situations that bring upon stress and anxiety and worry in our life, they had it also. That's why Jesus would say in John 16:33, here on this earth, you have many trials and many sorrows. So none of us are exempt for trials and trouble and storms in our life that can bring upon anxiety and worry. But Paul says, don't worry. Yeah. See, but there are times, my brothers and sisters, as we, as followers of Christ, we do worry, don't we? We do fret. We do get anxious. We allow the cares of the world and the issues of life to overcome us and overwhelm us. And I can say right now, there's someone right now under the sound of my voice, you are worried about something. And this thing is probably beating you up. It's overcoming you. And see, we all worry. We can worry about situations in our home. We can worry about situations on a job. We can worry about what the doctors have given us a bad report. We can worry about the economy because our money is funny. We can worry about today, even today, we can worry about who's going to get in the White House. Even though we have heard 34 counts against him, we can still be worried about it. But he's telling us not to worry about anything. And see, sometimes, Reverend Smith, we worry about things that haven't even happened yet.
All right.
That haven't happened. We're worried, worried, worried. We can become a big worry wart, worrying about everything. And see, when we worry like that, we can possibly lose our joy, lose our peace, and our very hope. We can develop fears and doubts come into our lives. And not only that, it can affect our health when we worry. Worry can bring on high blood pressure. It can bring on heart disease. It can bring on nervous breakdowns. It can worsen your asthma. It can bring on diabetes. It can bring headaches and depression. And it can accelerate your age, making you look older than what you are. And it can bring on premature death if you continue to worry. See, that's why in Matthew 6:27, it says, can worry add a single moment to your life? No, but it certainly can take away from your life. Mm-hmm. And see, and that's why Jesus commands us not to worry, because to worry is to sin. Amen. When we worry, we are sinning. So that's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:25-30, I'm not going to read all of that, but he says, take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. If he feed the fowl of the air, will he not feed you?
Right.
Take no thought for what you shall wear.
Right.
If he clothes the lilies of the field, who are arrayed and dressed even more than King Solomon,
right,
will he not dress you? Because
right,
he said, aren't you greater than they are?
Yes.
So for us to worry is to sin against God.
Right.
For us to worry, it shows a lack of trust in him, a lack of faith in God and his wisdom and his sovereign power. How many know that God is sovereign and he's almighty?
Yes, he is.
There is none greater than he.
And see, when we worry, we're saying, Lord, I don't know if you can deal with my situation. I don't know if you can bring me through. You see, it's all right in our times of trouble to be concerned. But concern ought to drive you to look to the Lord. The concern ought to drive you to look to him to guide you, to lead you. Look to him to work his mighty hand of power in your life. You see, that's why we need, as the Bible says, we ought to look to the hills, hallelujah, from whence come your help, knowing your help come from the Lord. Yeah. And what I want to ask you today, do you know that your help come from the Lord? Yeah. Uh-huh. It don't come from nobody else but Jesus. It don't come from nobody else but God. Because he is our ultimate source of help. That's why the Bible tells us, somebody say the Bible says, in Psalm 46 and 1, that he is our refuge and our strength and our present help in a time of trouble. He is our present help. And being that God is my present help, God is your present help, we don't have to worry. Amen? Because he is our shelter. He is our keeper. So don't worry. Somebody might be asking a question. For us not to worry, what is the antidote? What should we do? Well, the scripture spells it out. In verse 6 says, we need to pray. There need to be prayer, amen? See, prayer, my brothers and sisters, should be the first line of defense. Come on, let's be honest sometime. When situations and circumstances come upon us, sometimes prayer ain't the first thing we do. Prayer, sometimes ain't the first thing. We'll run, go tell somebody else about it. We'll run to this source. We'll run to that source. But we ought to be running to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Praying to the Father. Ooh, praying to Abba the Father, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's an awesome privilege to pray to him. He gave us that open door to pray to him. So we ought to be taking everything to him in prayer. Oh, I like what my man Tony Evans says. He said, the more we worry, the less we pray. But the more we pray, the less we worry. Hallelujah. I don't know what you know about you, but I'd rather be praying than worrying. Worrying mess you up. Worrying just make things worse. Because if Jesus, as it says in Mark the first chapter, if Jesus got up early, every morning to go to the Father. He will stow away and talk to the Father. He will pray to the Father for guidance and direction in his daily walk. So if Jesus had to pray, we should continuously pray. Amen. And then it says we have to take everything to the Lord in prayer. What's the definition of everything? That's everything. Everything. Hey. The big, the small, the good, the ugly, all of it. Yes. Take it to the Lord. Yes. Give it to him. He said, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I shall direct your path. Yes. 1 Peter 5 and 7 said, cast every burden upon him, for he cares for you. Yes. And who better to handle your burdens? Who better to work out your situation than God? Woo! Because he's the only one who can do it. So everything, acknowledge him. Find direction in him. And see, when we give our cares and worries to him in prayers, oh, we can trust that he's going to work it out. See, when we don't pray, you don't expect nothing to happen. Don't expect nothing to happen. Because James says in 4 and 2, says, we have not because we ask. See? Don't expect nothing if you ain't going to him in prayer. Right. Don't expect nothing if you ain't laying it down before him, trusting in him. Take everything to him in prayer. See, that's why this old song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Yeah. Tell him all about your troubles, and he will hear your cry, and he will answer you by and by. Whoa, come on, and don't worry. See, but when we come to him, we just can't come to him any old way.
That's right.
And I like this verse because it kind of sums it up. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he would do it. Church, do you delight yourself in the Lord? Do you delight yourself in the one who is the creator of the heavens and earth and everything therein? Do you delight yourself in the one that said you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you delight yourself in the one who's able to give you joy, who's able to give you peace, who's able to give you hope, who is able to give you strength? Do you delight yourself in him? And he said, I give you the desires of your heart. He said, to commit your way to him. Lord, I'm taking off my way and want your way. I'm acknowledging you in all my ways. I want your way and not my way. Trust in him.
Yeah.
Have faith in him.
Yeah.
Believe him at his word. Because he says in the word, in Hebrew says, without faith it's impossible to please him.
Yeah.
Those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, we need to come to him, believe in him at his word. Having confidence in him, an unwavering confidence that he will work it out, that he will make a way. Because I like the way James put it. James said, oh, come asking and harboring doubt. Because when you come harboring doubt, don't think you receive anything.
Right.
So it's got to be confidence in God and God alone that he can help you out in your situation.
Yeah.
That he can get you through your situation.
Yeah.
He might not bring you out, but he'll keep you in it. Woo! He'll keep you right in the midst of it. Oh, give him glory and praise.
Hallelujah.
And see, then when we pray, we need to pray with supplication or petition. And that word supplication means the action of asking or begging or pleading for something. Whatever you want, continually bring it to the Lord.
Yeah.
See, what we do sometimes, we'll pray once, we'll pray twice, we'll pray about three times. Oh, well, I don't see nothing happen. Oh, well, yeah, then you stop praying about it.
All right.
Then you want to put your hands in it.
Yeah.
And then you end up messing it up.
Yeah.
Pray with supplication, with petition. And you know, just recently, Pastor had a petition, didn't he? With all these names on here. Many names was on there wanting to see the same thing happen. So that means you got to bring it to the Lord over and over and over and over again till you see him work it out.
Yeah.
Continue to bring it to him.
Yeah.
The Bible said we have to pray without ceasing. Continuously pray for what we want to see, for what we need. And see, Jesus, he tells us not to give up on prayer. Because
right.
Luke, the 18th chapter, he talks about this judge. It's a parable, if you will.
Yeah.
This judge, this evil judge, who didn't fear God, who didn't care for people. And it was this woman. She wanted justice for her dispute. And see, and this woman, she would come before this evil judge, who didn't fear God, who didn't care for people. And she would come from here, come before him day in and day out. But this judge, he would reject her day in and day out. And one day, this woman came before this evil judge who didn't fear God, nor care for people. And this woman came before him. And the judge said, I'm going to give this woman what she wants. So she'll stop bothering me. Amen. So it got on a man's nerves. And so that goes to show the parable, the moral of this story. If this evil judge can give justice, hallelujah. How about our heavenly Father will give justice to those who seek him day and night? Yeah, he'll do it. Won't he do it? He'll do it. But you continuously seek him day and night. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. But those who ask, it will be given. Those who seek, they will find. Those who knock, it will be open to you. So keep on praying for what you stand in need for. Don't give up on prayer. Trust God that he will work it out. Have the patience to wait on him. Because those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Oh, when they come to him in prayer, we need to come to him in prayer and supplication. And we need to come before him with thanksgiving.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I heard a lot of praise this morning.
Yeah, Lord.
Come and fill him with thanksgiving. That's why the Bible tells us that thanksgiving is appreciation and gratitude for the Lord and what he's done for you. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalms 104, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and thank him and bless his name.
Yeah.
We have to open up our prayer giving thanks to him. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for being my keeper. I thank you for being my sustainer. I thank you for being my provider. I thank you for being my protector. I thank you, Lord. Even though I might be going through, I thank you for being my light in the dark place. I thank you, Lord God, for keeping me when I can't keep myself. I thank you. Psalms 107:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Yeah.
Woo. How many know that the Lord is good? How many know that he's been better to you than to yourself? The Lord is good. And we ought to give him thanks. We ought to give him praise. We ought to give him honor. Because he is good. There's no none other like him. And he is worthy of all praise. Oh, give him thanks. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be content and thankful in all things. That means when times are bad, when times are good, be content and thankful in all things. Because it says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So be thankful when you're going through. Because you got to, when you know him, when you know who he is. When you know that he's the Alpha and the Maker and the beginning and the end. When you know he's the author and finisher of your faith. When you know he is the one who can able to keep you in the midst of your trials. We can give thanks to him. Because you know that he's going to make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. And when we come to him in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And say, make your requests. Be known to God. You ain't got to tell me first. All right? You need to tell God first. Amen? You ain't got to get on the phone and tell your mama first or your daddy first. But tell God about it first. Make your request known to God. And see, in this request, it's a specific and definite request. Something that you want to see answered. Something that you want to see manifested. And see, but it's not like God don't know what you stand in need of. He knows it all anyway.
Yeah.
See, but he wanted to see you. He wanted to see me. He wanted to see us bring it before him.
Right.
He wanted to see us give it to him.
Yeah.
He wanted to see us leaning and trusting and depending on him.
Yeah.
He wanted to see us having faith in him.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on,
yeah.
But he wanted to know if you got the faith to bring it before him.
Yeah.
And everything we ask for, hallelujah, need to be in line with his will. His way and his word. Mm-hmm. I can't be asking the Lord, go over there and kill that person right there. I can't do that. That person come up against me some kind of way. Lord, just take care of them. I can't do that. Everything I ask for needs to be in line with his word, his will, and his way. You see, that's why it's important to know God's word. Because the Bible says in James 4:3, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives.
Yeah.
You ever ask for something, but you know that what you're asking for ain't so much to glorify God.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Ain't so much to glorify God, but just for your own consumption.
All right.
It's something that lifts you up.
Yeah.
See, we need to ask something that's in line with him. That's going to glorify him. That's going to be good for you and glorify him. That's why 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence in which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So when you ask, your will need to be in line with his will. Uh-huh. And you ask, believe in him, and is in line with his will, his desire, he will bring upon that request.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's why it's good, again, I say, that's why it's good to know God's word.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to stay in his word, to know his character, to know his attributes, to know the way he thinks, to know the mind of God. So then you'll know how to pray. You'll know what to pray. You can come before him correctly. Hallelujah. So in those times when your money is funny, when you can't seem to make your ends meet, You can go to the Lord and say, Lord, you said
that
you never see the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging for bread.
Yeah.
Lord, you said that you should supply my every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, you said that you will work it out for me.
Yeah.
And when you're having trouble in relationships, and we do have trouble in relationships, if it be in church or outside the church, there might be trouble between you and a brother and a sister in Christ. There might be trouble between a man and his wife. But when we're having trouble, we can go before him and say, Lord, you told us to bear with one another in love.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I want you to show me your love.
Yeah.
I want you to show me how to love.
Yeah.
I want you to show me how to forgive.
Yeah.
I want you to show me the way I should love my brother and my sister.
Because
you said we have to love one another as you have loved us.
Yeah.
So show me, Lord, how to love. And when we'll be attacked by Satan, and when them hellhounds are biting at your tail, how many know that they come after you? Amen.
Yeah.
We can speak the word of God.
Yeah.
That you said that greater he that is in me than he that's in the world. That you say, God before me, who can be against me?
Yeah.
Lord, you said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Lord, I believe you at your word.
Yeah.
That you are going to work it out.
Yeah.
That you will be my protector.
Yeah.
That you will be my keeper.
Yeah.
That you will be my way maker.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody look at their neighbor again and say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
And when we pray in supplication and thanksgiving, and we've made our requests known unto God, and then we'll be able to experience the peace of God. How many here want the peace of God? Oh, we need the peace of God today. So much going on in this world. So much going on in our individual lives. We need the peace of God to abide in us. To be in us. And the Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, it says, because the Lord, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's to say he's the only source of peace. Because in this world, is the determined peace is determined by whether there's an absence of trouble or not. Oh, but my God, hallelujah, his peace and the peace of Christ we can have no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter what comes up against us. So I can have peace no matter if somebody get into office or not. I can have peace no matter what's going on in the Middle East. I can have peace no matter what the doctor says to me. I can have peace no matter if my job gives me a pink slip saying, we're going to let you go. I can have the peace of God in me. I want that peace. I need that peace. So I need to be connected to that vine. I need to be connected to Jesus, amen? So he can give me that peace.
Because
in him, I can do all things.
Yeah.
In him, I can sustain all things.
Yeah.
So no matter what we go through, if we have the peace of God, he's going to sustain you. That's why Jesus says in John 16:33, Jesus says that I have said these things to you, that in me you shall have peace. Because in this world, I'm going to say that again, you will have tribulations. But take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
And if you are in Christ Jesus, if I am in Christ Jesus, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are overcomers too.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So we can take heart. We can take courage. We can become the overcomers no matter what comes before us. Why? Because we got Jesus on the inside. We have his peace on the inside. Oh, we can make it through the fires and the floods of life. Amen. Because Jesus is right there with us. Because he is Jehovah Shalom. Oh, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And then when we have this peace, verse 7 says, it surpasses all understanding and comprehension. See, it's hard to understand sometimes. When the doctor's giving you a bad report, that you can have peace. It's hard to understand sometimes when the job is handing you a pink slip and say your job is terminated, that you can have peace. It's hard to understand us having peace through some of the trying and most difficult circumstances of our life. When by all accounts we ought to be in despair. When all accounts we ought to be losing our mind. When all accounts we ought to be depressed. But when we have the peace of God on the inside, hallelujah, you'll be able to see something different in your walk, see something different in your talk. And see, it's going to blow your mind how I can have peace even though I'm going through this, even though I'm going through that. But I have peace on the inside.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And see, not only that, not only you will be blow your mind by having peace in your situation, it's going to blow the world's mind too.
Yeah.
Amen. Because they may know your situation. They may go and know that you're going through a divorce. They may know that you're going through a financial crisis. They might know that you have lost your job. They might know that you lost a loved one, but they see you having peace on the inside.
Amen.
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 And see, we can't tell them but nothing but God.
But God,
He is my peace. He is the one that's working out. It's the Jehovah Shalom, Prince of Peace, is on the inside of me. That's why I can walk in peace, because it's Him on the inside. And they can see Jesus on the inside. And then we could be, as the world said, letting your light so shine before men that they see your good works, glorifying your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And by our walking and walking with the peace of God on the inside of us, we can point others to Jesus as well. And they too can have peace. And we have this peace that surpasses all understanding. It goes on to verse 7 and says, well, guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That means it's going to guard your whole inner man.
Yeah.
Woo, ain't that feels good just to say that. It's going to guard your whole inner man. Everything, your heart and your mind will be guarded with the peace of God. Because knowing that He is in control. Knowing that He is at the reign.
Yeah.
Amen. See, that's what it is. We got to let Jesus at the reign. See, we got to let go of the reins and let Jesus at the reins.
Amen.
Because He's the one who wants to guard us. He's the one who wants to give us inner calm and tranquility and that quiet that only He can give. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your storms, in the midst of your flood, He will guard you. Woo! And I want to be guarded. I don't know about you, but I want to be guarded by the Lord. I want to be guarded by His peace. 1 Peter 1 and 5 say, we are protected by the power of God through faith. Oh, how many want the power of God to work in your life? Come on, how many want the power of God to work in your life? We are protected by the power of God through faith, believing and trusting in Him. It's us abiding in Jesus Christ, living in Him. His presence in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit protect us and keep us. Because we know that He's omnipotent, that He's all-powerful. Ain't nobody more powerful than God. Because we know that He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He knew your situation before you even got in your situation. He knows the outcome. He knows that you're going to walk in victory. He knows that He's going to bring you out. And He's omnipresent. He's everywhere simultaneously. He's with me right now. He's with you right now. He was with believers on the other side of the world right now. He knows, because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be right there with you, guarding you and keeping you in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your troubles. Oh, hallelujah. See, then we don't have to worry. We don't have to sink in despair. We don't have to, because we got Jesus on our side. We have Jesus at our back. We have Jesus keeping us. That's why Isaiah 23 and 26 and 3 says He will keep him in perfect peace. When I believe I preached this one time, that perfect means He will keep you in a double dose of peace. He will keep you in peace. Amen. Those whose mind is stayed on Him, those who trust in Him. Oh, I encourage you today, church, to trust in Him. Whatever you're going through, give it to Him. Leave it with Him. And know without a shadow of a doubt that He's going to work it out. That He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Because the Bible said He's not a man that He should lie. If He said it, He's going to do it. If He said it, He's going to make good on it. Oh, hallelujah. So we can walk in peace. We don't have to worry.
Yeah.
That's my message for you today.
Hallelujah.
Stand to your feet. For the doors of church are open.